It's the logical conclusion, Salsa.
Clearly.
That is an anecdote that is way up there in James territory.
Ooh. Wow, being remote makes you mean. Shit.
You know what else makes me mean? Greetings, Afroposse. And buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
Excellent.
And we are recording remotely.
We are coming to you remotely due to the COVID peak. Hello, COVID peak. Fuck you once again.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Fuck off, COVID peak.
Thankfully, we have booze to stave off whatever that is.
Yeah.
What y'all drinking?
Okay, so I'm actually running out of liquor at my place. So it was one of those weird scramble things. But I recently got Canada.
Ooh, eggs?
Huh?
You're having eggs?
I had eggs earlier today, actually. So I was like, I did actually. Like, I should do a scrambler tomorrow.
I could really destroy a Western scramble right now.
Ooh. Oh, that is entirely what I'm doing tomorrow.
Yeah.
I can delve into my new dietary habits in a bit. But first, I'm going to start about what I'm drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I may have started early. Hi, cheers, everyone. So what I've got is ginger ale with lemonade. Mm. That's the can. It's a Canadia Dry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's ginger the can, and I saw it and I picked it up and I was like, sure, why not? Actually, very tasty and very happy mm-hmm. with my decision.
Oh yeah.
I'd never done it before. So that was lovely. And I mixed it with some rum.
Also
because
good.
Because apparently I'm out of whiskey.
Mm-mm.
Shit.
I have Sailor Jerry's Du Nord vodka and I do have honey whiskey, but I felt like that might be a little bit too much on top of everything for the ginger ale. And I like to keep that for my hot toddies. So that's what I have left in my house right now.
Oh.
I've been trying to just kind of empty out all of the boozes that I have.
Can I name your drink?
Yes, please do.
Can we call it a redheaded sailor?
Mm.
Hmm.
We can and we should.
Rum and lemon for sailors, and it's a ginger.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
No, redheaded sailor it is.
Yeah.
Cheers, bitches. That's what I'm drinking. And it's delightful.
Excellent.
I started early, like I said, so.
So you're going to be super fun.
It continues to be delightful, yes.
Yeah.
I had a day.
I have picked up a brand new beer.
Ooh.
Stone Chocoveza Tres Leche. Imperial Stout inspired by Mexican hot chocolate and Tres Leche. Stout brewed with chocolate, coffee, pasilla peppers, vanilla, cinnamon, nutmeg, rice, and oats. This is 8.5%. Yeah, but it's a very regular can, but kind of a handsome fellow.
It is nice looking.
Yeah,
it's
what's the brewery
like
on that again?
Stone Brewery.
Okay.
Stone. And it says Chocoveza. So I did pronounce it correctly, Chocoveza.
Mm.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it when my booze gives me pronunciation guides. Mm. That's lovely.
Really, I like it when anything gives me a pronunciation guide.
Oh my god.
Dang.
I work for a hockey team, as you probably are aware. and lo and behold, hockey players sometimes have amazingly ridiculous names.
Oh.
So whenever I get the sheets for the game, each team provides their lineups.
Mm-hmm.
And the lineups also have information on them, you know, what school they're committed to, their record is for this year, their birth date, where they're from, stuff like that, a bunch of random information on them. And most of them also have a pronunciation guide. And I love that.
Yeah.
That is beautiful. I wanted to add to that. Join my sympathies into your experience, because there was one year for Human Combat Chess. Mm. I was one of the announcers. I was an announcer with Kyle Decker. And we both survived the experience, which I think is a testament to my patience, because he certainly did not hold back on his puns.
Indeed.
He was encouraged. That's what pisses me off. Anyway, but at the beginning of the show, we went back and forth pronouncing people, like calling out people's names. And next we have James Fairbairn, and now we have Salsa Sterling. And like each person would come out and do their little human combat chess lap. And there was one name that I had to practice repeatedly. And every time I saw this person, I just said their name in announcer voice to make sure that I did not forget it. The last name is Benjagurtis. And it is spelled exactly the way it is pronounced. Like, I've said the name. You can probably go ahead and spell it now.
Sure.
But
but that sounds like you took somebody's first name and last name and mashed them together.
Right? It was just such a weird mouthful to have to work through and figure out. And I had to basically write my own pronunciation guide for everybody that I was announcing. The same individual stopped by the fencing booth last year. And so when he went up to do his fencing bout, I went, Dante Benjagurtis, and was like, yeah, he was very happy about that.
Yeah.
Excellent.
The end.
That's fantastic.
All right.
I was salsa, about to say, what are you drinking?
Yeah, what's salsa drinking?
Well, as you probably know already, tomorrow is Robbie Burns night.
It is.
And so I am drinking scotch.
Yay.
Advisable.
Indeed. I have in my glass, I have the Macallan. Have single malt scotch edition number 3. That's what I have tonight. So
nice.
Glorious.
It is delightful and lovely. And we are planning on having a small little dinner tomorrow with just family.
Nice. Yeah. That's fair.
We have a haggis in a can. And just one. We didn't plan this out. We quite literally yesterday evening went, well, we should have, we should have your sister over for dinner tomorrow. Hey, that's a good idea. Let's invite him over. Invite. Okay. What are we gonna eat? Shit. But we had one can of haggis in our pantry from last year's Robbie Burns experience.
So it'll be fresh.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's haggis in a can. What are you gonna do?
Yeah,
but yeah, last year's Robbie Burns was a very singular affair. So this time around, we're like, oh, we can have more people over. But it'll just be one other couple and family. Over. So well, we're like, oh, we only have one can of haggis. Maybe we should get some more food.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going to do neeps and tatties, and we're going to do bangers and mash. And we're going to do, I'm going to make a honey and whiskey fool. And
what is a honey and whiskey fool?
Jenna, you will not be able to eat it. So calm your tits.
Well, that's fine.
It is basically it is basically like fruit mixed into a custard, like a cream.
And it's sour.
This is honey instead of fruit. So it's basically egg yolks and honey that is custarded on the stove, turned into a custard on the stove, and then you fold it into a whipped cream.
God.
So yeah, you take whiskey and honey, and eggs, and you heat them up on in a double boiler, and you whisk them together until they turn into a nice foamy custard, and then you take the rest of the whiskey in heavy whipping cream, and you beat that until it's whipped, and then you fold those together, and then you put a little strawberry on top, and it's delicious.
I mean, I could probably make a similar thing with non-dairy whipping cream.
Does non-dairy whipping cream get stiff peaks?
Yes, it does. It's a little different. It doesn't fluff quite right.
Okay.
but it does fluff, which is important.
Fluffing is very important.
It is important that your whipped cream is fluffed.
Oh, well, in this case, you might be able to give this a shot.
Yeah, I might be able to do that.
And then, because I am me, and somebody suggested it as a joke, obviously I am going to do it now.
Right.
But I am planning on, for dessert, in addition to the fool, making that classic Scottish delicacy, deep fried Mars bars.
Oh my God, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another thing I can't have, but yes.
For many reasons.
I have already talked to our good friend Mark and found out that Blue Sun Soda Shop does indeed have Mars bars. Oh. So I'm going to get some Mars bars and deep fry them.
Yeah, excellent.
All right.
So we'll find out how that goes.
Yeah, I look forward to updates and reports on that as it develops.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it next week.
Oh, good.
And then whiskey. That's our evening.
That sounds delightful.
I know, it sounds just...
It really does.
Just a terrible way to spend an evening, isn't it?
Awful. Although, tomorrow night, I'll be doing prom with Tom, so...
Ooh.
That's not a terrible way to do it, either.
Yeah.
Go ahead and throw in some bangers and mash, and you've got yourself a Robbie Burns prom with Tom.
I mean, I feel like if it's prom with Tom, bangers and mash, it's already happening.
Yeah, that's how the game goes.
Or bubble and squeak.
I mean, depending on the choices you make.
I think some bubble and squeak would go well with prom with Tom.
Bubble and squeak?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that champagne and cheese?
No.
What the hell?
What? Jesus Christ.
That actually sounds horrifying.
No, bubble and squeak is a bake made with potatoes and cabbage.
Oh.
I'd always thought that it was like a glass of champagne and some cut up cheeses.
No.
A charcuterie tray.
Oh, so not mixed together.
Mm-mm.
Just in the same sitting. Okay. Because I was really confused as to what you were doing with your brie.
You know how people take the raspberries and they drop them into their champagne flute.
Yeah. Right? Just like
James
that.
James is just like, nope, here's some here's
cheese.
A pair of cheddar, just boink.
No, I was going what's that called? Monterey Jack. Squares of Monterey Jack in his champagne.
Okay.
I mean, every time you take a sip, you get a delightful, chewy surprise.
Well, I think Monterey Jack's got that bite. I think it could be fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could also do a sharp cheddar.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I'm cheese-splaining to the two of you. I feel like this is not my area of expertise anymore.
Good dry cheese. So
I only have faint memories of cheese. I'm no longer experienced. It's like coding. Like, you know when you stop coding for a bit and you just forget how to keep up with all of that? It's like that.
Okay, so here's what
faint
you do.
Memories of cheese is my
here's what you
Zappa
do.
Album.
Here's what you do.
Okay.
Half champagne, half cottage cheese, throw it in a blender. Bam.
Honestly, people do things like that.
No, right.
But it was worth it. The look on Jenna's face was worth it, though.
And
oh, cottage cheese and fruit is amazing. Don't get me wrong. I love cottage cheese with fruit.
Cottage cheese is great with fruit, but champagne doesn't sound... It's too liquidy, and there's already curds in the cottage cheese. I don't need more.
Dip in there.
I wouldn't.
Like strawberries or something.
Celery sticks.
And I like celery.
Beef jerky sticks.
Yeah, if
take your ability to process dairy and shove it up your
deep fried Mars bars.
Yes,
that's shove a much it up better your idea. Actually, Mars bars. You should have those.
That does sound fantastic.
Side tangent. I was watching a friend's stream yesterday. And he said if he got to a certain amount of money, he was going to drink a disgusting soda.
Oh.
And I had flashbacks. Like, I was like, die laughing? What?
One? I can get you seven. Like, right. Without breaking a sweat.
I think he may have gotten it from Blue Sun. Anyway. Okay. But the soda in question is one that we have all had before, I believe. It is the
ranch.
It was the ranch. Oh,
yep, called it.
Watching him try to do that, I finally understood. I finally knew why people were giving us money.
Fuck.
It wasn't because they believe in what we do or anything like that. They're just like, I want to see that happen.
Yeah.
Drink something that smells like child vomit.
That is the reason I have had ranch soda more than once.
Yep.
God. It doesn't get any better.
It really doesn't. Oh, it's so gross.
Camera zooms in on Salsa's 1,000-yard stare as the theme from MASH begins to play. Even more beautiful. Also, you have a crusty in your eye.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for
a little swab there.
Sometimes the visual stuff is just for us. Although I feel like the audience could hear that.
They probably knew. Oh, yeah. They knew exactly what was going on right there.
They could hear Salsa getting closer to his microphone. That's
it's right there, James. What the hell? Okay. So anyway, well, don't move. Don't eyeball your mic.
What does
That's
it sound like?
Weird.
What does my eye sound like, everybody?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like color blindness.
Oof. Yeah, monochrome. Oh. Okay, this is going to be his next blockhead stunt. It's jamming a boom mic directly into his eye socket.
I'm telling Raiderly.
Like a...
Hey, what does the inside of my nose sound like?
Like an orbital...
That one I'm sure she'd be fine with, actually. Yeah. just microphone blockhead? That's...
So anyway, Robbie Burns night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Salsa. I know a little bit about what Robbie Burns night is all about, but if we have listeners who for some reason don't understand the glory of Robbie Burns night, would you be willing to impart your knowledge and history onto this momentous holiday?
Sure. I can sum this up in three words.
Okay.
We drink scotch.
Okay. Lovely.
Fair.
Delightful.
Yeah.
The slightly less succinct answer is so Robbie Burns is a famous Scottish poet. Everybody knows some of his poetry, whether they know it or not. I guarantee you, if you have ever sung Auld Lang Syne on New Year's Eve, you know Robbie Burns' poetry. Because, yes, Robbie Burns wrote Auld Lang Syne. So that is Robbie Burns, famous Scottish poet from way the fuck back when, you know, people were...
When Irish poets roamed the earth.
He's Scottish, not Irish.
Oh. Well, that's Scottish. What made him special.
Yes. In a time...
He was the one that stayed home. All the Irish poets were out roaming the earth.
In a time when Irish poets were roaming the earth, one Scotsman stood up and said, "Nay, this will not stand."
Nice.
And then he wore a kilt and threw a claymore at the English.
They can take our lives, but they cannot take our haggis.
But Robbie Burns wrote obviously a lot of poetry, but the ones that he is most well known for, most famous for, is "Auld Lang Syne" and "Ode to a Haggis."
Yes.
And for, you know, commemorating Robbie Burns every year, there is Robbie Burns Night celebrated in Scotland. And for those of us who want an excuse to drink scotch, and it is traditionally a time for feasting on Scottish dishes, which includes things like neeps and tatties, which for those who don't know what that means, it's turnips and potatoes, and bubble and squeak, and haggis, and bangers and mash, and various other delicious foods. But there's much food had. There is a lot of root vegetables and booze flows. And then the centerpiece comes out. Traditionally, the haggis will be processed into the room with a bagpipe playing. And the haggis will walk into the room and...
And the bartender says...
No, and then the host will recite the famous Robbie Burns poem, "Ode to a Haggis." And then the haggis will be... dispensed to the hungry crowds for the eating, and it is so good.
When you said dispensed, I had like five things go through my mind during all of that, and I was trying so hard not to interrupt.
Like a
number one, when you said dispensed, I pictured like a very large haggis Pez dispenser.
I want one now.
And everybody takes their little haggis tablet.
It's amazing.
Also, nope, I've been drinking. I forgot the other thing. Oh, no, wait. So bagpipes.
Yes.
There was a clip of somebody who made the shittiest bagpipes ever out of like a rubber glove and straws.
I saw that.
Oh my God. Amazing. You need to get one of those for tomorrow night.
Yeah. Or I saw somebody made a slightly less shitty one out of a French horn and a balloon. And
like,
by
holding. Yeah, that is delightfully good.
Yeah.
But it's not as bad.
It's not the delightful shittiness.
Like you don't one up somebody by doing something less impressive, James. That's not how one upmanship works.
Oh, I thought this was entirely impressive because he also played the trumpet while using the French horn as the drum.
See, this was not explained well.
This was a feat of mankind, not a feat of ingenuity.
Yeah,
a little bit. But then, if you really want peak shitty bagpipe, you get the electric bagpipe that they made on Mystery Science Theater, which is a fistful of recorders, plastic recorders. Taped to a lawn and garden leaf bag.
I was going to bring this one up. Yeah.
Yeah. And an electric leaf blower. Oh. And they play a whole lot of love on it. Badly.
Which is delightful. It's
but
so
also
good.
Kind of perfectly. Yeah.
So thank you, Salsa, for explaining the lore of Robbie Burns Night to the most of our
It is a fantastic, and if you have never heard of nor read Robbie Burns' Ode to a Haggis, do, because it is a fantastic poem.
Mm-hmm. It's actually way more sentimental than it has any right to be.
Yeah, it really is. The first line is, he calls it the great chieftain of the Puddin' race, fantastic.
Lovely.
British pudding, not American pudding. Mm, mm-hmm. Like this is not like mm-hmm. Jell-O pudding. It was like, you know.
Yeah.
Oh man. Now I want no bake haggis that you just, you know, pour the powder out of the box. Yeah. And...
But he calls it the great chieftain of the Puddin' race. As long as his arm, it fills the trenchers, you know, his knees, you know, grow weak at the sight, you know, he stabs it and the juices flow out and it's a fantastic poem about a haggis, and it's fantastic and delightful, and the whole point of Robbie Burns Night is to eat haggis and other Scottish foods and drink scotch and have a good time, and mm-hmm. and it's delightful, and if you've never had haggis, try haggis because it's good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, go ahead.
But otherwise, yeah, it's you don't have to if you don't want to. Just right. If you want to just eat, you know, Scottish shortbread and some mashed potatoes. Mm-hmm. Cool.
So my boyfriend and I, actually we went to Merlin's Rest during the quiet times. And got some food because we hadn't for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And we were talking because he got bangers and mash and I got just some Irish stew. And he was like, you know, I've never had haggis. And I was like, well, we need to solve this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm describing haggis to him because he's like, you know, a lot of people have this conception that it's just ground up innards like a sausage. And I'm like, no, it's more like a Scottish stuffing.
It's a pudding. Yeah.
It's a British Isles pudding, but it's not like in American terms, it's much closer to a stuffing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easier to describe it that way. You'll get a better understanding.
It's like half volume of barley.
It's a hot dish.
It's really not.
Don't say that to Joe. Don't.
Sorry.
But then I'll never get him to try it.
Yeah. I think a stuffing would be a very good way to describe it.
Yeah, for American terms, it's.
But especially if you can find a nice brown sauce.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Americans need to embrace brown sauce. Kind of, yeah. Brown sauce is great on meatloaf too. Go out and get a brown sauce; they're fantastic. Mm. And for those of you who are giggling at brown sauce, it's made from figs, and so it's brown, and so it's called brown sauce. But it's delicious.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What else
are you up? Or do you have more follow-up?
Sorry. I've been
Robbie Burns Night Eve, when all of the children hang up their woolen socks with flashings around the Robbie Burns tree.
Oh, I was going to hang up my sporon.
With their little dirk in it.
Yeah, then with the skendu, pinned with the skendu up at the top. If they've been very good and very Scottish children, not necessarily the same thing, then Robbie Burns will visit their home at midnight while they're asleep and fill their stockings with organ meats.
Anyway, we've been going for almost half an hour, and I have done nothing but talk about Robbie Burns, and I do apologize for that. So please,
nothing to be sorry about.
What has somebody else been doing? Please.
Well, like I said, Joe and I went out to Merlin's Rest. We're in a weird position as far as our current COVID
period. Giggity? Usually, had a date like that once?
But so many of them.
Several dates. Boyfriend.
Like but because he tolerates me and I tolerate him and we actually delight in each other's idiosyncrasies. That's really the reason. But joking aside, no, we're in a strange place where I have already had the latest strain of COVID, right? So, and I'm vaxxed and I'm boosted and everything else. And like, I've offered to people, like, if you need somebody to run out and get you something, if you're sick, I'm probably the least likely person to catch it from you right now since I just had it. And they say it's like 60 to 90 days is a good amount of like, eh.
You're invincible.
Not invincible, but like I've the highest protection of getting it again that I could possibly have right now.
I'm pretty sure you're invincible right now.
Not.
What have you done to test Salsa's theory?
Have you walked out into traffic yet?
No, and I'm not going to. You put a yet on that, but there
is no way to
tell you this. I hate to tell you this. There are certain things that you don't actually put a yet after.
Yeah, so you're also violating the terms of our death pool.
There are some things you don't put after yet after yet.
Yet. So. Yeah.
So yeah, I am actually going out a lot more than some of our other friends because I just am doing things to help people. I'm doing things for me and my own sanity.
You're invincible.
I'm not invincible. I'm still. It's funny because like I still wear a mask everywhere I go, even though the likelihood that I could spread COVID right now is very limited. But
it's Superman. Is invincible and he wears a disguise.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So now I'm a superhero. I never thought of it like that before. But no, I still wear a mask. Number one, because it's mandated right now because we're in the middle of a spike. But number two, even like going over to friends' houses and stuff, I want to make sure other people feel comfortable.
Exactly. Right?
And there's no way of knowing for sure. Like, even though it's like, I don't know, a super high percentage likelihood that I can't get it or spread it right now. It's still not nothing.
Right.
I basically...
Sorry, so yeah. I feel like Get It or Spread It is the name of Jenna's memoir.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. Salsa. I'm amused, but I'm also sad. Like, I'm having so many emotions over that drop.
Yeah, that's awful. It's not wrong, but it is awful.
There you go. I like that, James. It's not wrong, but it is awful. Yes.
I own that. I will absolutely own that.
Okay. But yeah, so I'm in this weird place where I'm like actually going out and doing things, but like kind of feeling guilty for it. Even though, like, you know what I mean? Like, because I am in this place where it's just, and so it's, there's a weird, it's not quite survivor's guilt. Although I did just survive having a bout of COVID, where other people won't, just straight up, let's be clear about that. And it's, so it is kind of like this weird, like, navigating the world in this place where like all of my other friends are just like hunkering down and not going out and doing things or having very limited social contact. And I'm just like, what's up, bitches? And you know, going to do things like this is for me personally, the best time that I can.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, and I have been using my quote unquote superpowers for good. I've been doing some deliveries and other things like that. I've been helping out certain people that have gotten sick. And yeah, if there are any friends that are listening, again, take me up on this. I've got another 30 days at least, of my willingness to do this before I start to be like, starting
a little
to
more hesitant.
Again.
Yeah.
But it's a weird position to be in.
Yeah.
There was an article that somebody recently posted about this kind of like a sense of relief for people that have already gone through a bout of COVID, right? Because the big question before you get COVID, if you're going to, which hopefully you don't, the whole goal is to not to, but knowing that the possibility exists that you could get COVID, the whole fear is how is it going to affect you as an individual, right? And I had some concerns, my first time around, because, number one, the first time I got COVID, cause I've gotten it twice now. The first time I got COVID was right at the end of March, of 2020, when we didn't know what the fuck was going on with it. We had no vaccines, we had no boosters. This was before like lockdown happened. And then I started feeling sick. Like, you know, it was one of those things where it just, like, I just right on that edge, just chuk-a-dunk. And I didn't know if I was going to get worse. I didn't know if I was good. And after going through it that first time, you're like, okay, now I know what my body individually has had this, and I can better identify symptoms. I can better identify this, that, and the other thing. So when I had it this last time, it was a different experience. Go ahead and say that.
Yeah.
But there's still this kind of relief of now I know that this particular variant, with all of my added boosters and stuff, like how that's going to affect me. And the answer is none at all as an individual, like sickness wise. It means I stay home until I'm no longer infectious. Like that's how that affected me. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But this article was just talking about just this relief that people have felt afterwards. And I think it's important to acknowledge that feeling, without allowing that feeling to make you feel like you are invincible.
Yeah.
Cause like I said, strength. I'm in a good place right now. I have these capabilities. I am not invincible, Salsa.
But you have capabilities.
But I do have capabilities. And that's the thing.
Superhero.
Powers,
superhero. I'm a superhero right now. That's fine. I'll go with superhero, but not invincible. But yeah, so it's like, how do you balance your feelings after having been afraid of it for a lot of people that are catching it now for 2 fucking years of relief? And how do you balance that against the social need that still exists, but also against a lot of people being in the same state I'm in right now, where it's like, yeah, but I'm not likely to get it for like a while now because I just had it, right? Like, it's all of those weird kind of navigational balancing things. It was a very fascinating article. I couldn't find a link to it. It's gone to the winds. Good luck. Yep. That's what I've been up to, is being a COVID survivor, basically. I've gone out to eat a couple times. I've helped some friends, did some grocery stuff. Actually did some other shopping that I've been putting off for fucking months, you know, like all of that stuff. I feel like I'm catching out on all of my errand, my long-term errand stuff, because I have this window where now I'm better off doing it here than anywhere else. So
do your stuff while you can.
Exactly.
Well, we are going a bit long on this opening segment because I talked about Ruby Burns for too long. I apologize. That's my fault. Do we want to just plow through, James? Do you have much to say, or do we want to just wait until the second segment?
We can handily wait until the second segment.
All right, let's just do that.
James, take over the second segment.
Absolutely. No, this is excellent. Your chance, James. This is your chance. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a little bit.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Like some delightful like Australian accent, like a GPS or something. Ooh, Yoda. I want Yoda.
Oh, you cunts now recording.
That doesn't sound like Yoda at all. That is the worst. That Yoda impression was worse than my my Schwarzenegger impression.
Are you sure?
Schwarzenegger impression.
That was a terrible Yoda.
Huh.
W-O-D-A Yoda.
I felt like that was a really good Yoda. I don't.
James, you put me in an awkward position. I don't want to have to side with Salsa.
That's okay. It's okay. You don't have to. I'm about to ruin it. Can you imagine? Empire Strikes Back. When Luke first meets Yoda.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's my home, you cunt.
No, I like it. I'm in. Yeah, no, I love it. That's beautiful. Now I need Yoda in a kilt.
Ooh.
Kilted Yoga.
All right.
Kilted Yoda is the name of my next album.
Oh my god. That's okay, so internet. We need this dub to
wait,
happen.
Are we already back?
Are we back?
You didn't say we were back.
We're back.
Never said we were back.
Are we back? We're back. I'm
we're
Salsa.
Back. Fuck it.
Internet.
We'll
we need this to happen.
And I'm James.
No, we don't care. Internet.
Fuck it.
Somebody needs to do Scottish Yoda.
Yeah.
The Empire Strikes Back, Scottish Yoda cut. This is what we need.
All right.
We need all this in our lives.
I'm going to put our energies out there into the internet and see what returns to us.
I do strongly love the internet's fascination with the Scottish Pokemon trainer.
Oh, hold on for a second, James. I've got one more thing I need to say.
Yeah.
And I'm Jenna.
Hold on. There's a Scottish Pokemon trainer?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. From Sword and Shield, which takes place in ostensibly the British Isles.
I thought it was a Japanese thing.
There's Diamond and Pearl is the Kanto region, which is like Japan, I guess. And then there's another one that's in France and another
lost,
one that's,
but that's fine.
Yeah. So, the Alolan Islands, it takes place in effectively Hawaii. This one takes place in the British Isles, and there is a Scottish Pokemon trainer who was revealed in early trailers, and the internet just took it and went fucking berserk. And so it's just comics of the Scottish Pokemon trainer being like, "Oi, you wee cunt, get out of the fucking ball and fight!" Amazing, yeah, and everybody desperately wanted this to be just like a fucking foul-mouthed, bitter.
Oh yeah,
yeah. That's what I want from anyone.
Yeah.
in the Isles, but specifically Scottish.
Yeah,
there's got to be a Pokemon called something like Hagagus or something like that.
Oh,
I like it.
Well, I know what I'm naming my next Pokemon.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
We cunt.
James, what have you been up to?
Speaking of video games, every quarter, the LAN party group gets together to play a bunch of video games in the same room. Now, due to the extraordinary danger of large gatherings, instead of having a large gathering with something like 16 people, we had a much smaller gathering, and everyone who attended got tested and quarantined.
Tested before. Good.
Yeah. Just to be a little a little safer, reduce the risk. And then I just got tested again today to be real sure about things. So yeah. And that's kind of the rule. We went
I'm back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about it. I just let James keep talking.
And I'm Jenna.
No, you are not. You take that back, you son of a bitch.
I'm Sparta, Jenna.
I'm Salsicus.
Salsicus is good.
Yeah. I'm Jennicus.
Salsicles is the Greek and hero. Yeah.
All right.
So.
And then there's just James.
Yeah, that's, you know, what are you going
to
do?
Nobody else wants to be James.
Speaking of,
are you kidding me? Do you know how many ladies James gets on the regular? Fucking
ladies love cool James.
Ladies, peoples. James gets all of them. Take that.
So a LAN party,
also because of his enormous penis.
God damn it. My safe word is pineapple.
Sorry.
Pineapple. pineapple salsa. All right. So,
isn't that a chutney?
No, that's mango.
Mango.
You're
right. Okay.
Hey, mango.
A much smaller group of us got together and enjoyed foods and things like that instead of taking our regular trip out to the, to a restaurant of our choosing. We ordered in and everything like that. We just did everything that we could to be as safe as humanly possible. So, oh, fuck. There's a brand new, well, new to us, Jackbox pack number 8.
And yes.
Some of that shit is fucking glorious. It has a very small number of games, but they are they're potent.
Yeah,
we got laughing pretty hard.
Do they smell like a Renfair hippie?
Yeah, well, like all a right. Renfair hippie's tent.
We have a group of people that does a semi regular Jackbox evening, I have thus far been working a hockey game every single time they've had a game night. So I've gotten home a couple times and gone, what you guys playing? And been able to watch like the last half of what they're doing. And it looks like an absolute hoot, but I haven't had the chance to actually play yet.
Fair.
Yeah.
I actually don't have internet friends anymore. So I haven't played Jackbox in like a year and a half, I think, really.
Maybe that's a thing that has to happen. AON.
I should get some internet friends. Yeah, that seems likely.
Well,
isn't that what Discord is? Or Twitch?
Twitch.
Like,
Twitch is more me presenting to people.
Oh, okay.
And helping to build community.
As a bird might present. Yeah.
Are you just displaying your plumage?
Yeah. Beautiful plumage. So,
I'm pretty good at bird noises.
Played a couple of games that I had never seen before. Aliens Fireteam has all of the feeling of the Aliens movie franchise. It's nerve-wracking and hectic and dark and scary. Like, it's really well done. And then...
this is in Jackbox?
No. Just...
Oh, okay.
Overall.
You moved on, and we didn't get the ticket for that train. Sorry.
You didn't bring us with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
We're just waving as you go by. Yeah.
All right. This is normal.
Return, new line.
All right.
Okay,
Aliens
Fire
Team. Yeah.
Okay.
Is a third person over the shoulder shooter.
Okay.
That is pretty great. Yeah. Well designed, fast paced, responsive, and you know where shit is located. It's good. We played some Halo Infinite.
How did you feel about that?
I like it.
I've heard some mixed reviews on it.
Yeah. So one of the things is that the weapons are very poorly balanced. In the original, the extraordinarily high power weapons fire slowly, or they take a long time to reload, or they have to be aimed really. Some of the shit just microwaves you if you're in the same room, and fuck all you can do about it.
Right.
So balance is something that has to be figured out for those.
Right.
Which I assume will come with time. But the look and feel and control of it is really good.
Okay.
And it's one of the few times when I've been playing Halo against friends where I really, even though I was losing badly, I felt like I knew what I was doing and like I was competitive.
Okay.
Yeah, which in my group of friends is very rare. Because most of them are just fucking monsters at first-person shooters. So, yeah. Yeah. So there was that. We played Escape Simulator, which is a small party, like 2 to 3 people get together and they solve an escape room that is really tiny.
I've heard of
the size of like a fucking walk-in closet, and every room has, I want to say, like 6 to 10 puzzles in it. You have a time that's counting down. It doesn't matter if you exceed the time, you can still, win the room. You just don't get a trophy or something.
But I want the trophy.
Well, then do better than
I did. You know how I feel about trophies.
Yeah, I do know. So there was that. And we played, as we often do, Deep Rock Galactic, which is, Dwarf Drilling Simulator. Different from Dwarf Driller Simulator, which is pornographic.
I was going to make that joke, and then you did, so...
Yep.
Now I just have blue dwarf balls.
Oh. Got to be a drink.
Yes.
Please. Is Blue Dwarf Balls the sequel to Red Dwarf?
I would assume that it is what you get when there is too long a wait between seasons.
Red Dwarf. Actually. Good call.
No, I'm going to allow this.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all of those things. And then I played one of the games that my Steam Secret Santa procured for me, which is called Getting Over It, where your character is apparently a fully grown human dude in a huge kettle of water. Maybe not even a huge kettle of water, but it is as if your lower body has been tucked neatly into a kettle or a cauldron. And then you have a maul, like a rock hammer. And you use the maul to move along the ground and to climb obstacles. And it is the only means by which you can climb things. And the whole design of the game is that it is incredibly frustrating. And that after achieving a great deal of height and distance through complex obstacles, that you will later fuck up mildly and then slide off of something and fall all the way back to the beginning.
So it's like a Massacre game?
I'm not familiar with Massacre.
Massacre games are games
masochistic
that are designed...
hardcore.
Yep. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty... Yep.
I want to be the guy, Super Meat Boy.
Super Meat Boy. Fuck yeah. Super Meat Boy. I hate that game.
This is maybe even a little worse than Super Meat Boy, Because at no point in any level of Super Meat Boy can you perform so badly that it sends you back 10 levels.
But is it... this sounds like I want to be the guy level.
Hold on. Can you die in 1 hour 666 times?
No, you don't
because
die.
I did that in Super Meat Boy. Because I was given a level where there was a fucking saw blade right under where I landed. Yep, that was it. There were a few times where I was able to escape it. And then, like, the next one got me, like, right afterwards. It was awful. It was a box, and it just had saw blades all around. 666 times, James.
Seems like the correct time to stop, yeah.
No, I was playing I Want to Be the Guy.
Yeah.
And in an hour, I made it to the second screen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, those are what you're describing sounds like a MassaCore game.
I think the hardest part about this particular title so far is the combination of the person who designed this game is also the person who designed Quap.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It has a very different control scheme, but it is to an extent intuitive, but it is also frustrating.
Yeah.
What is what?
Quap. Quap is
Q-W-O-P.
Quap is a running simulator in which the only controls are Q, W, O, and P, and they control your left foot, your right foot, your left knee, and your right knee.
Oh, that sounds horrifying.
It's awful.
It is.
All right.
Yeah. And so you need to figure out how to get the pattern of your legs and your knees moving at the correct speed, at the correct pace, or you fall over.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, that's awful. I'm out of my toddler stage. I don't want to do that again.
No, it's a game.
Okay.
This one is enticingly simplistic at the outset. The difficulty is purely in applying the controls to the environment.
What was that? There was a game that was like a grappling hook game. Where it was just a vertical shaft and you had to use this grappling hook to catch like objects as you went up. And if you just missed an object, then you fell to the bottom and you were dead.
Oh, in this case, you don't get to die.
Oh, well, in this one you do.
You just lose potentially all of your progress or maybe just part of it. Maybe you get a lucky catch.
You know which game Bolsa is talking about? Because that was the question.
I don't know that specific game.
Okay. I can't remember. I don't either. Okay.
But the other frustrating part about it is that the person who designed it, I believe, is the voice that is speaking soothingly to you the entire time.
Oh, you want to punch him?
Yeah. I have new life goals.
Yeah. So that, you know, as you're climbing
things.
I want
to be that guy.
The narrator says, hi, I designed this game and... it's really emblematic, and you know, as you're moving through these situations, remember that there are going to be setbacks, and that's okay. Sometimes you'll get set back really far, but then there's you know, these challenges, and we're going to overcome these challenges and do all of this. And then you'll go through things, and the voice never says, "Oh, that was really well done," or "Good fucking job." No, but when you do fall, and you will.
Mm-hmm.
The voice is like, "Oh wow, you lost a lot of progress, but you know what? We're just going to pick ourselves back up. We're going to start over, and we're going to start climbing again." And if at any time you become really frustrated, you can always just quit, and then your progress will be automatically saved. You know, it's just a fucking infuriatingly calm. But no.
Yeah, this is my new life goal. This is I want to be this person in life.
I really enjoyed it. I really like the combination of blisteringly difficult gameplay and like demoralizing, almost cruelly soothing voiceover is, it's, I'm with it. I like it. And then, I think the last new thing that I played was Before Your Eyes, which is, a game where you're watching somebody else's life happen through their eyes, but it tracks your blinking.
God.
It uses your webcam to monitor your eye blink. Status. And as you blink, it will... I understood this reference.
Thank you.
As you blink, it will push you forward through the story, whether you're ready or not.
Oh, God. Nope.
So
nope, I'm out.
Yeah, you're going through this person's life at a variety of speeds depending on when you blink. So you'll miss scenes, it's pretty incredible.
Already blinking like more now, just mm-hmm. you talking about it. I'm like,
yep, nothing really draws your attention to it like like having to monitor.
I might even be blinking the regular amount for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just feels like I'm blinking a lot because now I'm paying attention to it.
Yeah.
It's like when somebody asks you how to do something that you just naturally do, and then you're like, suddenly you can't do it because you're like,
entirely conscious of this thing. Yeah.
I don't know how I do it, and now I'm unable to do it.
But all of these were really good. I was extremely pleased with all of these, and I got to try Hellish Quart, which is a fencing game real similar to if anybody's tried Bushido Blade.
Yeah,
where if you make a correct strike, you'll behead someone in a single blow. It's not a traditional fighting game. There aren't meters. There aren't anything like that. You're just out to like maim and then murder the enemy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
With a variety of weapons.
Yeah.
It's pretty decent.
It looked it.
Yeah. It's weirdly one of the games that I found very difficult to put my mind into to connect to the way that I do with other physical games.
Hmm.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Just because of the control scheme or because of the graphics or why not?
The murder.
No.
Oh. Well, never mind.
Good guess, but no, when I play most racing games or a lot of fighting games, I will have a kind of internal sense of the gravity and the forces and the momentum and things like that. But when I play very specific games, I feel disconnected from that.
Hmm.
And it's this is one of them. And it may just be that I don't have the practice for it yet, that I... as I become more accustomed to it, it will become more natural.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it is a really solid game. It's very well designed. Yeah. Mm. But I just didn't have the hang of it, I think.
That's fair.
So that was the LAN party.
Haha. All right.
We watched Free Guy.
I still haven't seen it yet.
I enjoyed that one. I watched that one on the plane back from Greece.
It is a decent film.
Is it is it streaming yet?
I don't know.
Because I believe it is.
That's, huh?
I believe it is. I think it's on, maybe it's on HBO?
I feel like it's got to be somewhere.
Well, okay. I'm putting that on my list of things that I need to talk to Joe about watching, because... Yeah. Ryan Reynolds. I'm gonna have his babies, and by that I mean I'm going to steal them.
He's gonna wake up one morning very relaxed and not know why.
Well, it looks like it might be out on Disney Plus right now.
Oh.
What the shit?
Okay. Well, there we go.
Yeah, no, I was waiting for that one to hit streaming so that I could watch it there, because I like Ryan Reynolds a lot.
Yeah.
And I want to see it a lot.
Legitimate.
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus right now.
It's a fun movie.
No, it's not. It is coming to Disney Plus on February 23rd.
God damn it. Okay.
So it is not yet on Disney Plus. Sorry.
Fuck. All right. Well, that makes me feel better because I've been looking for it. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it might be streaming right now. I know that it was streaming for us, but...
Yeah, you might want to stop with that. We need some censorship there.
It looks like it's on Amazon Prime if you have
that. Must be it.
But you have to pay for it.
Yeah, I'm sure that is the legitimate means by which this happened. Yeah.
Right.
So, no, it's a fun movie with a lot of nods toward people who have done a lot of gaming. So, I think...
And it's got Taika Waititi in it.
It does have Taika Waititi in it. But I was thinking Jenna would be a super fan, not only because of Ryan Reynolds, but also... Because
I think she thinks we're going to say spoilers because she has taken her headphones off of her ears.
I do see that. I don't think we're
not spoiling anything.
Any amount of anything that you say about it is going to be a spoiler to me personally.
Fair enough.
So I didn't make a big deal out of it. I just removed myself from the equation.
Okay. That's fine.
So if you want to keep talking about it, I'll...
Nah, we can move on.
Okay. I think you will like it, but...
I think I will too. Yes.
Yep.
This is my understanding of the situation. I just need access to the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Anything else, or should we take a break?
How long have we been talking?
We've been... going for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So if you got something 5 minutes long, we can do it.
Yeah. All right. I think I've talked about this a little bit. Also, I had a date like that once. But I think I talked about how I did one of those DNA test things and realized I might have a sensitivity to gluten. I'm pretty fucking sure that I do. Because I've been adjusting my diet to accommodate that and to also try to lose some weight for myself as a health thing, not like, any other whatever reason. And yeah, so I've basically taken gluten primarily out of my diet. I've been very gluten limiting, I'm going to say it that way. And then, I had some gluten on Friday.
Oh.
And then Saturday morning, I was like, I might have a gluten sensitivity. So basically that means I've been doing a very specific diet where it's very protein heavy. So like this morning I had eggs and hash and I only really do two meals, and then like I snack when I feel the need. I kind of do a brunch and then a leper, I guess. I don't really get hungry outside of that, so that's occasionally I need to snack a bit, but like really two meals will do me. But then for dinner tonight, I had a steak and some broccoli. That with like my coffee, smoothies or like carrots and hummus, things like that. I do treat myself to some gluten-free, blue corn chips and salsa from time to time. And it has I managed to bring myself back down to where I was at before I went to Kansas City, which is great, right? As far as like my percentages and my everything else, but I keep hitting a plateau at a very specific spot. And I'm really frustrated about it. And I'm pretty sure the answer is I need to move my body more. And that bothers me because I'm lazy. But
I'm right there with you.
Right? Yeah. But I've been, you know, doing these things like adding more spice and stuff like that to try to elevate levels and all this other stuff. And my question to the both of you, do you have any specific dietary things that you have tried to accomplish that you have succeeded with, and how did you go about it?
my goal,
both of you are like,
My goal was to eat a lot more pastries, and I succeeded.
Excellent.
In spades.
What tricks did you use to do that?
I made my own.
That's a good way.
Yeah.
I got an oven that was capable of baking pastries, and I made a lot of pastries, and I ate them pastries. It was delicious. As far as like, there's only really been one time in my life when I've actually tried to lose weight. Like, I've tried to cut weight before for high school wrestling, but that's mostly just cutting water weight.
Yeah.
You know, that's just sure. Running with, you know, trash bags on for 5 hours and until you sweat it all out, and then you know, have weigh-ins in the morning and then eat. It's not healthy, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But there's only one time where I've actually went, no, I need to actually like try to get my weight under control a little bit. And that was easy because right now I eat whatever the fuck I want. And so it wasn't like I suddenly was like, oh, I have to be on this very strict regimen. It was just like for the first time in my life, I actually just didn't eat shit all the time.
That's good. Well,
so I just ate more homemade food and like less cookies.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm clearly I'm not a good one to ask.
No, but like I think because the goal isn't specifically to lose weight.
Sure.
It's to, you know, increase some muscle mass, lose some different types of body fat, whatever. But I'm always curious as to what things people do and don't do when they're looking at various aspects of their own body health, right?
I went to the gym more often as well. I actually, you know, I was actually going to the gym on a semi-regular basis before COVID hit. But other than that, yeah, I've never been, I'm more of the, I'm more of the die young, leave a beautiful corpse, crowd than, you're not going to find me cycling to the Whole Foods. That's not me.
Yeah. I've very purposely like worked toward a lower body weight for myself a few times. Sometimes far more sustainably than others.
Sure.
The advice that I've received recently that I think makes a ton of fucking sense is that whatever you do to be close to your ideal weight and fitness, you're going to have to keep doing in order to maintain that.
Right.
Which is why, as much as keto worked for me, I got down to real close to 200 pounds, which is the lightest that I've been in 25 years, something like that. I took a lot longer to heal. And I also, the moment that I started eating normally, because I was back at fast, the moment that I started eating more normally and just eating whatever food I could get a hold of, I just packed it right back on. Another time, over 100 days, I wanted to lose 35 pounds. And so I had myself at first down to 1,800 calories a day, didn't take the elevator, didn't drink sugar beverages, and like was watching very closely what I ate, and going to the gym once a week. But I was doing maintenance exercises every day. Like 25 push-ups, 200 sit-ups, 100 jumping jacks, and then like yoga bends and stretches and things like that to try to keep my flexibility up. And I was doing that, you know, 5 days a week minimum. And then by the end, I was going to the gym 3 or more days a week. I was down to 1,600 calories a day. And I was pushing myself extraordinarily hard. And it just isn't, that's not fucking sustainable. Probably the best and easiest thing that I've ever done to lose weight and feel better was when I was about 25. Now, admittedly, at 25, it's so much easier.
It really is.
It's it's just so much fucking easier. At 25, I had put on a little weight, and I decided that I wanted to be more fit. So I just did maintenance exercises every day. And I was also doing a job where I was on my feet constantly and didn't have big lunches and anything like that because I couldn't afford all that shit. So I was probably getting 1,600 to 1,800 calories a day because that's all I could do. And then I was doing maintenance exercises and being on my feet all day. And I became, you know, pretty toned and fit from that. Right now, I'm just kind of deciding that I'm going to do what I can to be fit and to do something, some kind of movement stuff every day. I do physical therapy 3 times a week, and then I get up and do stretches and stuff with my Animal Crossing Islanders. And I'll probably add more stuff into that and just look at changing what my portions look like. Not even necessarily the size, but just what constitutes my portions. Because as far as my what my body craves, it wants a ton of meat. Like my body wants whatever I'm eating to be at least half meat. And then
well, that's because that's delicious.
It is. And also like physically I feel better after eating meat.
Actually that's been one of the biggest pushes for protein for me. I just feel better after having proteins. Carbs make me tired.
If I don't
that
eat,
is delicious.
What I would consider to be a fairly significant amount of meat in a day, I feel anemic. I start to feel like I'm wasting away in a really.
Have you been tested for that?
Yeah, I have. I don't have anemia. I don't have hypoglycemia, but I also used to eat, you know, 5,000 to 6,000 calories of food every day. I would have like 5 or 6 meals every day.
No, I grew up on a farm. I was the same way. I packed it.
Farm
just
kids.
Food.
Right.
Food.
Which is also one of the major things that's making eating moderately super fucking hard.
Agreed.
One of the things that that I have found easy is changing how much of my meal is constituted by each type of thing. So that, 50% of my meal is vegetables. And then I've got proteins is a like 30 something percent, 30 to 40%. And then the remaining wedge is carbs.
Okay.
A lot of what I've been doing was
based on macronutrients or whatever, the carbs, fats, and proteins.
Yeah.
And so I've been reducing my carbs, but increasing my proteins.
Yeah. But then also with meals that I get from somewhere else, one of the easiest things I can do is just cut it in half and put half away.
Sure.
Because I can always go and get that other half.
Yeah, American portions are.
I'm fucking starving. I can
really big. That was one thing I discovered in when I was in Europe just a few months ago. Is I would finish a meal.
Right.
And like I finish meals in America too, but like over there, it was like I would just finish the meal, and then be like, oh, I guess I'm done now. And you know, 5 minutes later, I would go, "Huh, I guess I'm not hungry anymore after all." That was enough. That was enough food for me, instead of just plowing through huge amounts of food. You know, eating up until the point I was not hungry, as opposed to stopping and then letting the not being hungry anymore catch up.
And I want to be clear. I want to be super clear on this. I'm not looking for advice for me specifically or for listeners.
No.
I do not want anyone to feel pressured into any kind of body changing things. I was just curious what other people had done. Because I know what I'm doing.
Yeah. No, I know. I definitely saw a huge reduction in my stamina. Especially during these last 2 years, like so many other people did. This last year at Fest, just walking around.
Oh my God.
Was exhausting. Because I did not have that cardio anymore.
Standing was tiring for me.
It was so tiring. But one of the things there is just making more of my own meals at home. Just doing more home cooking. You know, yes, I'm still making the same meals that are probably, you know, a dietitian would go, what are you fucking doing? But compared to what I was getting at a fast food place or a store with, you know, preservatives and sugars and salts and stuff like that, it was still better than that. You know?
That's also been one of my biggest frustrations is like, every couple of weeks, I, you know, spend time with my family and we grab fast food. Have you been able to find any fast food that doesn't have carbs?
Yes.
Or gluten? Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a drive-thru.
Gluten is easier. I have...
Because right now my life is Burger King chicken nuggets.
Popeyes is probably good for that.
Definitely Popeyes. And part of it is just what's available in the area when we're we do groceries and then we do fast food.
Something that I started doing at fast food places, aside from ordering the salads, was to order a bunless burger.
Yeah, I don't want a bunless burger.
I'm
going to keep eating chicken nuggets, I guess.
No, go to Popeyes. All right, well, we should wrap this up. Dear listeners, weigh in on all the shit that we said, as per usual.
Everything. Weigh in on all of the things.
All say things in relation to what we have said, not like what James did earlier, where he just went off on a tangent about something completely unrelated, because that's the James thing, and you're a good listener, not a James listener. Don't do what James does.
Wow.
Also, feel free to tell your doctor that it's not okay to weigh you.
Yes. That is
you can just tell them to fuck off.
That is actually a legitimate thing you can do. Anyway, we'll be right back in a little bit.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. And check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
Jenna.
And yeah. It's time for Fast Five. Today's Fast Five comes to us from the super sexy, the super talented, the best, me.
I was last. Oh, you. Oh. Me.
Yeah, I was. We got halfway into that, and I was like, me. Sure. Okay.
Me.
You need a little applause button on that goddamn box.
Okay. It always goes just a little too long, doesn't it? Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
That's why I felt like it might be appropriate, because your intro to this Fast Five went just a little too long, Salsa.
Touche. All right. Today's Fast Five is the and/or version of the Fast Five. Yes. This will all become clear in just a moment.
Oh, gross.
All right. Question number one. Tooth or nail?
Huh.
None of the above. I absolutely hate having my nails tugged on, worked on, painted. I don't like clipping my nails. I leave clipping my nails for like a once a month thing. I do not like anything pulling on my nails. And yeah, I don't like having tooth issues either, but like I've had so many of them over the years, I just kind of know what that is now.
Sure.
So I'm going to go with tooth on this one, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
In a horror movie.
Ah. Already don't like it.
Bad things happen to people's bodies often.
Yep.
And tooth body horror is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But fingernail body horror. I can't. I fucking cannot. I hate it. It makes my skin try to escape my body.
Yeah, no. It's no good. I don't like it.
Yep. Nope. So no. I'm going to say nail is the worst.
For the same reason, just a different question.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay. I am going to go with tooth on this one.
All right.
All right. Question number two. Cloak or dagger?
Ooh. Cloak.
I want you both to guess what my answer is.
Dagger.
Yeah, it's dagger.
That's weird.
I know. I
prefer to tackle my problems head on as opposed to try to sneak around them or tiptoe around them or hide from them. I'll just stab a bitch.
All right.
What? Yeah.
James?
I would choose to protect those who are important to me by keeping them warm and cozy and happy, rather than trying to engage in bloody mortal combat to I mean I'm sure
I'm just
that
like
I would have
whatever the situation needs, really, but
yeah. But I would prefer the former to the latter.
Mm. Fair. So cloak. Right.
Okay, I'm going with dagger. Mm. All right, question number 3.
Hmm.
Sugar or spice?
Huh.
Oh, I love sweet things. I really love sweet things. I have a problem for sweet things. I think I'm going to go sugar.
I do like candy, but I like spicy things a lot more.
Mm.
I love hot foods.
Ooh. I prefer my chocolate in candy form. Like a sweet candy form as opposed to as an additive for like Southern American dishes and whatnot.
Hmm. That's a fucking interesting take on it. Huh.
God, now I want more chocolate. Fuck.
Even if I choose a chocolate, I usually want a dark chocolate, and I love chocolate that has pepper in it.
Mm-mm.
Like a spicy pepper.
See, I like a dark chocolate, and I'm with you there, because I honestly, that should be the chocolate that I'm having. Milk chocolate has milk in it. But I would rather have dark chocolate that is full of sugar and like covering fruit.
Shit.
Yeah. Chocolate covered fruit is the best thing ever, and you will never be able to take that from me.
Mm. I love those chocolate oranges so goddamn much.
Chocolate oranges, chocolate strawberries are delicious.
Chocolate covered raspberries are incredible. I had some cordial cherries.
The cordial cherries are absolutely amazing.
Fuck. Mm. I just had some of those earlier today because I was like, you know what? I realize this is my entire daily allotment of sugar in two bites. But sometimes that's just what you do in life.
I'll choices. Figure it out later. Choices are being made.
Yeah.
All right. James, you went with
spice.
Spice. I'm also going spice. Mm.
So
spice. Question number 4. Trial or error?
Error.
I'm also error, so.
Hmm.
I don't understand what you mean by either of those words, so.
You don't want the joke answer. The joke answer is going to get us killed, Salsa.
Let's see. Trial or error? Do I continuously check my code while I am working on it?
Hmm.
Which would be trial. Or do I build all of my code, compile it, run it, everything else, and find the errors from there? And I'm definitely a continuous checker. Yeah, I'm going to go trial.
All right.
I do the same thing when I'm sewing. Like, I will check up against any pattern or individual measurements, the rest of that, while I'm sewing almost obsessively. I just check always throughout, constantly. I'm a certified Scrum Master and Agile methodology. Okay, I'm done. Trial.
All right. Question number 5. Bells or whistles?
Oh, I love bells.
Huh.
Whistles just make me, like, they put me on edge.
Mm.
Bells are so much lovelier. Although, if the question is, what's more likely to get my attention, it's probably a whistle.
Hmm.
But I like bells. Give me bells. I want bells. Bells. Hmm. The ringing and the tinging of the bells, bells, bells. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
It is
anyway, podcasting with smart people.
It's only what the people miss.
James?
A different reference.
Okay.
I gotta say whistles.
All right.
Yeah. I've been obsessed with whistling for most of my life.
Hmm.
So it was the first instrument I learned.
Yeah. Fair.
All right. I'm also going with bells. Oh. All right. And now for the context. Question number one, tooth or nail? When eating a tough finger food like jerky, do you tear it with your teeth or rip it apart with your fingers and put small pieces in your mouth?
Definitely with my teeth.
Yeah, I was wrong. Teeth.
Yep, teeth. All right. Yep. Question number two, cloak or dagger? Preferred offhand parry.
Dagger. Ooh. I have done cloak offhand. I've done it a couple of times. And I have hated it every fucking time. It looks cool as shit if you can do it right, which I can. But there is something about a cloak parry. It is somewhat unpredictable. It's heavy in a different way than any other type of weapon that you're going to use in an offhand. And like I said, I've done it a couple of times. Not a fan. Do not like. Give me a dagger.
Like, I like the distraction quality that it has. Like, it is. Swinging a big cloak around is definitely distracting to... It disrupts the person's concentration. But I like the options that a dagger gives me. You know, you can't stab somebody with your offhand cloak, you know?
No.
And a dagger. Yeah. And a dagger is more agile. It will, you're able to react quicker with it. So I do prefer a dagger on the offhand.
Yeah.
Can I tell a story?
Do so.
On this podcast?
The very first human combat chess I did was sword and cloak as the offhand. And I was stepping in just a couple weeks before open to cover for somebody else who was unable to perform due to an accident. They're fine. It's great. So I'm stepping into this sword and dagger or sword and cloak. Was it rapier? No, I think it was small sword and cloak. It was small sword and cloak. Or possibly dueling sabers, whatever. A lighter sword. And we worked it a few times, like as much as we could up until opening. At one point in the choreography, my opponent, who's a jerk, won by trickery, where he just wrapped the cloak around my head. And then as I pull the cloak off of my head, he punches me in the face and knocks me out.
Jesus.
And I dropped real good. Like, I saw a video later and I was like, oh shit, I look hurt. it was great. I was so proud of myself. But, like, I remember Jessa came to see the show. And I was like, Jessa, I just want to remind you, like, this is all fake fighting, right? Like, nobody actually gets hurt. And she's like, yeah, I know, Mom. I know what staged combat is. So she sees the show. And then, like, afterwards, she's like, okay. I see why you warned me, because that was really convincing. You did a very good job. And I'm just like, yes.
Awesome.
But yeah, so I've done cloak offhand and I hate it. I hate it every single time. Luckily, my character in that fight hated it too, so I didn't have to do much with it.
I don't know that I've ever tried it. We've done a lot of dumb shit in the ring.
Well, I suppose I could make a ring cloak. Or a ring cape, at least. Cloaks with the hood, it's more cumbersome. Might want a cape. And I can show you what I know. I won't like it. But I'll do it.
Yeah.
In the interest of education, I'm here for you.
Yeah. All right. Question number three, sugar or spice? Absolutely nailed this one. Do you prefer your hot cocoa sweet or heavily spiced with cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, etc.?
No, give me all of the sugar. I want all of the sugar with my chocolate, my hot cocoa. And possibly some fruity syrup, or a bousmahal, or just marshmallows. I like marshmallows. Marshmallows are fluffy. They're delightful, and I can have them. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Like your answer, James?
Yep, I'm sticking with it.
All right. Question number four, trial or error? You get a great idea for a fest bit. Do you put it through its paces, i.e. trial, before putting it in front of people? Or do you immediately bring it to the street and possibly fail miserably? Error.
So, similar vein, but not at all the same thing, because I would actually go with error on that one. Pretty much any other context, I'm going to want to, like, just refine and redo and whatever before I present. Fest is the one place where, because you have no idea what's going to happen, you really can't overly prepare for it. Like, you just kind of got to do it out there, and you just kind of got to go with it. If we're talking about something like a staged show, then I would definitely want a lot, like, from beginning to end stage show, and there are other people involved that are dependent on what I'm doing. Yeah. That's a different beast.
Right? No, this is just street bit.
Just me doing a street bit? Fuck it. Fix it in post.
Cool.
It's, all right. Yeah.
Doing it live.
I even ended up halfway between those doing the pub crawl with Kyle. And our solution was halfway between those two. We were there, you know, 5-10 minutes ahead of our first pub crawl, you know, deciding what it was that we wanted to do. But we basically just, you know, well, we were hired to do a thing. They know what our act is. We're just going to do that, but harder.
That's fair. Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
So, yep. No, I nearly no surprise on that one. Question number five, bells or whistles? You are at Fest. Somebody hands you the possibility of a bell or a whistle to get attention. Do you use the bell or the whistle?
I use the bell.
Yeah.
Here's my thing. To get attention, and that, like, I know straight up I said, like, whistling, like, I guess if you got to get attention, like, I'd go with a whistle. But at Fest, if I'm going to get attention, it's going to be through trickery and shenanigans. And I feel like what I would do, it kind of depends on the bell that I'm handed. I would hope that it would be, like, if it was a town crier bell, I would actually just get another patron to ring it for me, and be like, you're drawing this crowd for me, bitch. I'm lazy. That's my first. If it's a lighter jingly bell, I would Morris the shit out of that until somebody finally paid attention to me. a whistle is just a whistle. There's not as much opportunity to play for a whistle, I think. slide whistle, maybe. would be a different issue. But that you didn't say slide whistle. You said whistle.
Nope. So. I did not.
So.
No, I agree with you for all of the reasons that you said better than I would have been able to say. So.
Curtsy.
Yeah.
Now I need a bell for the fencing booth.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit. That just happened.
Oh, no.
That just happened.
I need.
Oh, no.
Like a wrestling bell.
Bing, bing.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a really good plan.
A boxing bell.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't think we're going to be able to do it frequently, but you and I can figure this shit out for at least mornings when we're a little slower and we can fuck with people more.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
Get a boxing ring bell. Hell yes.
I think it would have to be like a town crier bell, but still like be able to ding ding with it.
Sure.
That kind of a thing.
Yeah. We'll just go next door and steal theirs.
All right.
I don't want to.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should be the five choices, and the second one should repeat those choices so we don't have to go back and forth between emails, and then give us the context. Does anybody have a shout out this evening?
I want to give a shout out to. I'm going to go with. I'm not sure who to give this shout out to, but holy fuck, do I need to give it out. I'm going with United States Postal Service on this because the government has stated you will get free tests. Free tests will be made available to you, the at-home tests. Mm-hmm. And there is a form that you can fill out to get your free at-home tests. The form itself is on USPS.com. And it's all being handled through the United States Postal Service, like a fucking service, like the way it should be done. God damn it. Anyway, I have feelings. But whoever put together this form is a fucking genius. Do you know how much time it took me to fill out this form to get these tests? Less than a minute. The form is your name, your address, your email address, and then, like, I think that's it. Like, it is so fucking simple to get four free at-home tests through USPS.com. Fucking do that shit. Again, recent COVID thing, I had no way of knowing that I was sick except for having taken at-home tests.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only way I knew for sure that I was sick. Testing, I think, especially now that more of us are vaccinated, boosted, whatever, and not showing symptoms, I very strongly feel that's going to be the way going forward to help prevent spread of COVID.
Yeah.
Get your fucking free tests. It is seriously a minute. It is free. There's no shipping. There's no nothing for you. It is just a bunch of free tests delivered to your door. And again, 1 minute, you fill out the form, you're done. But I'm very strongly on the whole test often, test consistently,
mm-hmm.
and check, because again, I would have had no way of knowing. So, my shout out is for whoever developed that form because they went unnecessary crap. Fuck that bullshit. Here you go. 1 minute, get your goddamn test. Whoever came up with that was a fucking genius, and they deserve a shout out.
Hmm.
Cool. All right, James.
Mm-hmm. I am going to say thank you to. Speaking of testing, the like 20 somethings that I saw staffing the local PCR spit test, the Hakalugi test. That's a hard, thankless, long day, like bull crap job to do, but someone has to.
Right.
Lots of someones
mm-hmm.
have to. And that these people are stepping up and doing this incredibly important thing right now. And I mean, for me at least, it seems scary because you exist in the place where people are going to find out whether they have this thing. Sure. You are essentially guaranteeing yourself exposure. And that takes a lot of guts. And it's not something that I can do, so I just appreciate those folks who can and are. Yeah.
Absolutely. Sulcy, you got something?
Yeah, mine's a lot more pithy. I'm giving my shout out to the Celtic Croft.
Which is
up in Brooklyn Park.
Mm-hmm.
What?
They're great.
James,
I love
them. Agreeing with you. What is it?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You cut out just as you said something, and so I was not sure what you said. Yes. Okay. Celtic Croft up in Brooklyn Park. That is where I got my can o' haggis. It is. They also have things like kilts and Scottish things.
Mm-hmm.
Cable knit sweaters?
Possibly. I'm not 100% sure on that. Let me get back to you on that, though. they do Scottish stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty cool. Check them out.
Thanks.
Does anybody have anything to plug?
I do, actually. Now that I've done all of my threatening talks about how we should be testing often and taking care of shit, currently I have things coming up. We'll see how long that lasts. But in the meantime, COVID dependent, I have auditions. You can come audition for me. On Sunday, February 6th, and Monday, February 7th. By the way, Monday, February 7th, I'm not going to be able to podcast, so yeah, I'll figure that shit out. But I'll be doing auditions. The auditions are for a collection of short plays called Monsters in a Mirror. The short plays are all adapted from Philip Andrew Bennett Lowe's works.
Oh.
And he is, vivid and, grotesque sometimes in how he handles horror. He does not shy away from any of the topics that you would think a person might shy away from, violence, abuse, any of that stuff. Like, all of those situations are possibly going to be involved in whatever shows are produced. Mine's not. Maybe some violence, but like, you know, what are you going to do? But it's not, like, mine isn't, you know, super heavy. It's probably one of the tamer ones, but there will be a lot of other not tame ones, I'm sure. So, if you are looking to do a thing, I am looking for two performers of any age, any race, any gender or not gender. I need two people. The big thing is I'm looking for movement heavy focus, people that are good with movement heavy stuff, and very good back and forth patter. So those are my consistent things that I'm looking for in this particular show.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be rehearsals starting as soon as we can start them, comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
and according to schedules, I work with my performers on that. There is a small stipend. These auditions are for all of the directors, involved in this, production. Some of those directors include Tim Wick, Tim Uren, somebody who used to be on a podcast. So if you have any interest with working on some of those people, those auditions might also get you into one of those shows as well. So auditions for Monsters in a Mirror, and I'll have the link up for that. Also currently scheduled, although I just got an email, so we'll see what happens. Don Juan, which was supposed to happen this month, is currently scheduled for Saturday, February 9th at 3 o'clock. Again, at Strike Theater, COVID dependent. So I'll have the link for that as well. Good enough.
I checked out their website, by the way. They do not have the cable knit sweaters, but they do have like shawls and stoles and scarves and things like that.
Okay.
So,
well, that's fine.
Yeah. James, do you have anything to plug?
Nope.
All right. Neither do I really at this point. Do I have something? Something's coming up.
I suppose there's an online Ville show coming up.
I've got something coming up next month, I think, but that can wait.
I mean, some of us were prepared.
I'll give a link to the various and sundry Ville pages.
Yeah. All right. In that case, are there any final thoughts?
Yeah. Bye, bye, love you, bye, 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 bye.
In that case, thank you so very much to everybody for listening to this podcast. Thank you to myself for the Fast Five. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
I want to blame you, and normally I do blame you, but I
just go ahead.
Pretty sure this is actually my fault.
Oh, shit.
We've got it on tape.